Would you turn to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. I want to pick up where I left off last week on why the prayer meeting is dying in churches. And I think it's important for us to meditate on this because, folks, it first dies in your heart. That's where it dies. And then you run upstairs to your brain and you try to give excuses about why, you know, I don't need to go to prayer meeting. But it died in your heart. And this is very important to see because we're living in days where we're just about leaving behind everything of any spiritual value. And we justify it because we think like we don't need that or this, that, or the other when we need it desperately. We need to be faithful and we need to stop excusing why other people don't and do what's right ourselves. You don't have to have a crowd with you to do what's right. If Daniel can stand alone and do what's right, you can stand alone and do what's right. But, you know, it's also important for us to be able to challenge others that think differently and take them back to the Scriptures. One of the reasons that it is dying is because we miss the whole point of prayer meeting. And I mentioned this last time, that prayer meetings have become problem-centered instead of Christ-centered. Now, that's a spiritual problem, it's also a philosophy problem. We say, well, we're supposed to take our problems to the Lord. But the very basis of the problem is supposed to spur you to move into God's Word, and we don't do that. Instead, we move into, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why I have all these problems. And so what we do is we almost blame God as we're talking to Him for all the problems that we're having, you know. If you just take care of us, we wouldn't have all this kind of stuff. But we don't understand that the problem or difficulty we are going through is another opportunity for God to show His greatness in your behalf. That's the whole point. And so if we focus on Christ in the difficulty that we're having, say, Lord, Your will be done. Lord, I want You to teach me in whatever You're doing. I want You to teach me so I can draw closer to You. You see the difference? See the difference? I'm not thinking problem now. I'm thinking the Lord Jesus Christ and His work being performed. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6 last time, and we saw this focus in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and what's the next line? Thy will be done. One of the reasons that the prayer meeting is diminished is because we come at prayer, my will be done. I want my loved one healed from cancer. I'm not going to accept anything else. Rather than, Lord, I desire for my loved one to be healed of cancer, but Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Because one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that you and I are just here on this earth for a little bitty time, lifetime. Well, no matter how long it is, you're just here for a short time. Every time I go up by this little cemetery out here on Shamukla Highway here, you go up a few miles and you'll see it on your left-hand side there. It's just a little cemetery. It's been there for almost 200 years. And you'll see a husband and wife, and you'll see six little babies right beside them. They never got out of infancy. They all died. They didn't have one child that lived more than a year. Now we look at that and say, that is so sad. And yet, all those six little ones are where? They're with the Lord. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, all those 60 million aborted babies in America are going to be up there singing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ? Never had a chance to walk away from Jesus Christ. God just took them on to glory. They're under the blood, amen? They're under the atonement. And so because they never reached that age of accountability, they're in His presence right now. Now you say, well, that's an awful thing, abortion. Yes, it is. But God always takes the wrath of men and turns it around and brings glory to Himself. The problem is that when we go to prayer, so many times it's my will be done on earth. with little recognition. That's not how I'm supposed to pray. And so what happens is when we don't get our will, we get discouraged. We get angry. We don't understand. How come this happened? I wanted a different outcome and God didn't give me this outcome. Now, well, wait a minute. Did you pray for your will to be done or did you pray for His will to be done? I said last time that many people think this way. Needs-based, problem-centered, request-focused, rather than Christ-centered. Christ will be done. Thy kingdom come. All right? That frame of mind will destroy a prayer meeting when you don't think biblically about prayer. Not only that, prayer meetings should impart life, not death. It should impart interest, not monotony. If you get bored with praying, it means you haven't been praying. May I say that again? If you get bored with praying, it's because you haven't been doing that. So we say, well, this is kind of boring. But it's boring to go into the presence of the one who loves you the most and just thank Him for loving you and to thank Him for being such a great and wonderful God that deigned to save you by His grace. There's nothing boring or monotonous about that. And by the way, that's what you're going to be doing for all eternity. You're going to be praising His glorious name. I want us to think for just a moment. What can we do to revive the interest in prayer? And I'm going beyond the prayer meeting. I'm going about prayer at home, personal time with God, praying for the needs. I hope you're taking these sheets of paper home so you can pray for these kids and not just once a month. But take these sheets home and remember them in prayer. You see, our prayer time, number one, should be Spirit-led, not panic-led. There's a big difference between those two. Spirit-led, not panic-led. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what's my responsibility? Get in line with the Holy Spirit. Pray with the Holy Spirit, not pray with a panic. How do you know whether you're praying in panic mode or not? Everybody know what I mean by panic mode? Have you ever been scared half to death? I've been out there on these ball fields when lightning struck, right? I remember many, many years ago, I think I was in middle school, we were having a men's softball game out here, and we used to have the metal grates in the bottom of the old underground dugouts. And lightning hit one of the poles out here on what is now Field 5. It used to be Field 1. We redid the numbers and so forth after that. But it hit, and the people that had the metal cleats on in their feet felt the jolt. They felt the jolt of the electricity running through the ground near that ball field. And you talk about clearing a ball field? I want to tell you something. Most of them ran out of their cleats and got to their vehicles. I will never forget in 2005, I watched as a massive storm was rolling to us. It's when we got all that hail. I watched it rolling in, and I ran from field to field. I said, get off these fields. Get to your cars right now. We got a bad storm coming. Everybody was running and getting off the fields. I got my kids from the ball fields, got them in the truck. I made it off campus as I was making sure everybody was getting off the fields. I made it off campus, and then the hail hit. I had never been through anything like that in my life. My truck was beat up. It had dinks all in the top of it, in the hood. I had tried to find a place to pull off to get it. It wasn't good enough. And I remember the darkness of that sky and the rolling of those dark black clouds as it was coming closer. I knew something was happening. It's either a tornado or something bad. Now, fear strikes our hearts immediately. What are we going to do? All right, self-preservation kicks in. Maybe it's the news that comes to you that you've got something going on inside of you, and panic strikes. Now, no one wants to die. Nobody wants to die. No one is seeking, you know, I think we'll get a busload up tonight and do like those cults do, you know, where they bring out the Kool-Aid and we all go to Jesus together. No, that's not what we desire to do. We all want to be around for as long as the Lord wants us to be here. And so when we get the news of something bad that may be going on in our bodies, a lot of times it's beep, hit the panic button. And we start calling everybody under the sun, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And that's all right to get people to pray for you. But do you say, pray for me that Christ's will be done in my life? Now stop for just a moment. When you read these requests, a lot of times on social media, how many times do you see, pray that God's will would be done in this situation and glory brought to His name in how He chooses to answer? I'll tell you, you don't see that very often. At least I haven't seen that. Sometimes you do. But most times it's beep, panic button. Pray, 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 pray for me, because I don't want to die. You see? We need to pray in the Spirit. Last one here tonight. You need to be Christ-focused in your prayer, not crisis-focused. I have to lay claim on this. Been through some crises, situations that were just completely out of my control. And boy, the crisis. And the natural thing is you start bearing it around in your body. The crisis. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Sick to your stomach. Anybody identify with that? You're just sick to your stomach because you're toting around that thing. Let me ask you something. Is that the right response? I'm just putting it out there. Is that the right response? What am I doing? I'm bearing in my body the crisis when God has told me, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to take that to Him and leave it with Him? Yes. Now, some people look at that and say, well, that's just pride. That's just pride. No, it's not. It's doing what God said to do in obedience. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, Psalm 55 and verse 22, one of my favorite verses. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. That's pretty strong language, is it not? But what do? We bear it internally, and we get sick. And all kinds of things start happening. And we get ulcers. And then we have to go see the doctor. And I don't know what's going on in my life. And you know what it is? You're not Christ-focused, you're crisis-focused. You're holding on to what ought to be cast upon Him. These are all things, folks, that lead to a wrong understanding of prayer and also leads to this idea of prayer meeting. That's not that big of a deal. You see, the corporate prayer of God's people is a privilege to join together and to pray for each other. Is the privilege that we have. And if we let it escape us, it ends right here. This is where the prayer meeting ends, right here in the heart. Then it goes upstairs to the brain and says, I got to find a justifiable reason why I feel this way in my heart. And we come up with some spiritual type thing that we excuse our lack of prayer. You know what that is? That's sinful. That's sinful. The Lord's told us, pray without, you finish it, ceasing. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. And we need to have it focused upon the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together tonight. Lord, I pray that You would deliver us from a cultural understanding of prayer. Because in the culture, everybody prays when there's a crisis. When airplanes are flying into buildings, everybody starts praying. When a bomb goes off, everybody starts praying. But we ought to be praying all the time. That should be our attitude. Instead, we adopt the cultural response instead of the spiritual, biblical response, and we wonder why prayer meeting is dying. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight to examine ourselves to see maybe we've adopted some of those attitudes. Maybe we've adopted some of those things that will kill prayer in our hearts and lives. Bless us now. Keep us safe tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.